Blog Talk Radio.
Michael E. Cannon, and it's a blessing to be able to be here one more time, just another day that the Lord has made. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So good to be here one more time. I thank God for the word of God that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The entrance of his word giveth light, it gives understanding to the simple. Amen. Thank God for his word. His word is quick and powerful. It's quick, that means it's alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And his word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, saith the Hebrew writer. Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight. Talking about the word. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him which whom we have to do. That is Hebrews 4 and 12. So we thank God just another day that we're here. And we'd like to welcome all of our Facebook listeners, all of our Blog Talk listeners and followers, and also all of our Twitter listeners. Followers and listeners. Thank God for you. So, a blessing to be able to get into the Word of God, knowing that Jesus says, if you continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So there's nothing like the truth. So the truth is in Jesus, is what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to the church, which is at Ephesus. And then also he says that the truth of the gospel, that's what Jesus Christ is about. He is a witness. He is the faithful and the true witness. And thank God for that he got up just like he said. And the writer says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 23 and 23. So they buried the truth. Truth got up on the third day, just like he said that he would. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Henceforth you have seen him. How sayest then, show us the Father? Thomas had asked the question, show us the Father, and it will suffice us, or it will satisfy us. Have I been so long with you, Philip, yet hast thou not known me? This is the question that Philip had asked in the 14th chapter of St. John. He that seeth me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? And he went on to say, believest me not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, and the works that I do are the Father that not my own works, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So the Father is the Spirit, the self-same one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's all the self-same one. So you got to look at what office or what, how did he speak when he spake? Sometimes he spake as God. Sometimes he spake as a man. When he was tired, when he was weary, he slept. He was tired as a man. He got up and rebuked the wind. And there was a great calm. He spoke as God. When he called, when he wept as the great high priest in the 11th chapter of St. John. But when he called Lazarus from the dead, when he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, he called Lazarus as God. So he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When Martha had asked him the question, we know we're going to see our brother at the last day, at the resurrection of the last day. And he went on to let her know, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Notice that word, E-T-H. That means you keep on believing. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he went on to say, he that believeth in me, shall never die. And he went on to say, believest thou this? And you know, when he had said that, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth bound in grave clothes, hand and foot. He was all tied up and wrapped up, how they would prepare you when you die. And Jesus said unto the people that stood by, loose him and let him go. In other words, untie him out of those grave clothes. So no grave could hold his body down. So he had to get up because Jesus had called him forth. And that's what he's going to do when he comes back to catch the bride or rapture the church away, or as the Bible says, we're going to appear with him in glory. That means he's going to call everybody by their name simultaneously. Just like the Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, simultaneously, all at the same time. Going to do just like he did, Lazarus, come forth. He's going to call everybody by their name, all at the same time. Everybody's going to get up. Amen. Those that are dead in Christ are going to get up. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, saith the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. So it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So it's so important to say what the word of God says. And God, you cannot separate God from his word. His word is exalted. The Bible said in the Psalms, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And his name is above every name. So what he says, talking about the rain and the snow coming down from heaven, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It's going to water the earth, that it may make it to bring forth and to bud, the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Then he goes on to say, so shall my word that goeth forth, keeps going forth, E-T-H at the end of that word, goeth forth, out of my mouth shall not return to me void, but it's accomplished the thing that I sent it, and prosper in that which I please. So it's going to accomplish the purpose that he sent it to do. So thank God for his word. So here we are today in part three in our lesson at the church at Philippi in the book of Philippians. And just do a little going back to a little recap here in the second chapter, and we want to get on into the third chapter on today. But he's talking about any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So that's what people need to do. So what he's saying is not saying, okay, you got it, you got the word, you got the gift, you can do it, go ahead and do it. You don't have to brag, you can do it. But usually others will promote what he's saying, let each esteem other better than themselves. So sometimes you got to do like the prophet Isaiah says, here am I, Lord, send me. So you got to do that sometimes. You got to go ahead and go forth. But we're not, shouldn't be bragging and boasting, thinking that it won't go, nothing to get done if you're not there to do it. It's going to get done. God never left himself without a witness. So he don't need me. He don't need you like it's not going to get done if I don't do it or you don't do it. God's going to have somebody to do it. But it's good that there be someone that is willing to do what he says do is the point. So we're going to make it. We can be in the will of God. We can perform the will of God. The Lord being our helper. So that's why we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So he goes on to say about esteeming other better than themselves, looking at every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So you got to consider other people. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We talked about this on last week. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that was a curse. You were made a curse in the book of Galatians. To be on the cross was to be made a curse, to be on that. That was a horrible death that you would have to die. So he was made a curse, not for himself, but for us. So anyway, he goes on to say, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he goes on to say, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So I think where we left off at. So yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and will rejoice and rejoice with you all for the same cause. Also do ye joy and rejoice in me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, or Timothy, is who that is, shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he hath served with me in the gospel. He's talking about Timothy, that same one that he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy, that book too, which is a pastoral letter, or you can call it a pastoral epistle. Epistle and a letter, self same thing. So he goes on to say, the proof of him, as a son with the father, he served with me in the gospel. He's talking about Timothy. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessarily is to send unto you a Phaerotos, my brother and companion in labor and fellow servant, soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. So he's talking about this man, Epaphroditus. And so, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So there are some people, they will lay down. This is what the Bible said in 1 John 3:16. Not St. John, but the first epistle of John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So literally, he laid down his life. So he died not as a spirit, but he died as a man. So we can see how he laid down his life. And so the Bible is the truth when it's rightly divided. And Scripture will support Scripture. So this is why what we are trying to let people know. So this is what Jesus said, that I'm the good shepherd. You know, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So he was saying, he went on to say in the 10th chapter of St. John, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. A lot of people say, pick it back up. He didn't say that. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to, T-A-K-E, take it again. Nobody can do that but God himself. So here, in the third chapter of the Church at Philippi, in this book of Philippians, is where we want to kind of kick off the day, finally. So there's one of those words that starts off with a comma right next to it. Not too many words like that. I don't know what rule that is in the English language that you can put a comma after the first word in a paragraph. No period, but a comma. So that does happen at times. And we see that in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter and the first word in the book of the Hebrews, which says, God, that's the subject, comma, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's the office of sonship. He was the prophet. He is the priest. And he rose as the high priest. So a prophet, priest, and king. So he's going to be king at the appointed time. So we can see right now he's in his priestly office. But there they're talking about, when Jesus says, all things have been committed unto the Son. So verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in the Son, you know, hath life. If you got the Son, you have life. If you believe in the Son of God, you have life. If you acknowledge the Son, you have the Father also, in 1 John. You deny the Son, you don't have the Father, because it's the self-same one. So that's why the Bible says in the third chapter of our 1 John, beloved, what manner of love that hath the Father bestowed upon us? To who? The subject is the Father. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And he goes on to say, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. He who? The Father. When he appears, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He goes on to say, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So important. Words are so important, what they mean. So anyway, so this is what he is saying here, and this is not the chapter, but these chapters are divided up for us to be able to read them and grasp what is being said. But he says, finally, My brethren, rejoice in the Lord, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So it's for a reason why these things that are being written are for our good. So he goes on to say, he's letting them know, he's giving them a warning right here in the second verse. Beware of dogs. So that is really strong language. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. So the Bible uses some strong words for a reason. So he goes on to say, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. What he is talking about is the natural knowledge and the natural man and the knowledge of that you can learn in school. He's not talking about the spiritual knowledge. Because remember back in the first book of Corinthians, when he was saying how he came up with not an excellency of speech and all that, of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit, that you might, your faith not wouldn't be, your faith won't be found in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So here, he's just making a point here when he was saying, if any man have confidence in the flesh, if any man, any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So he's talking about schooling, his knowledge, his natural knowledge that he learned. So he goes on, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That word dung means garbage, for lack of a better word, pile of garbage. So, so he goes on to say, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we know faith cometh by hearing, so it keeps on coming. Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh, that E-T-H, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, is what that scripture goes on to say. So here's what the apostle is wanting to say that is so important. So he said, that I may know him. Him who? Talking about Jesus. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So in other words, I heard a preacher preach many years ago, back in 1979, they used to have a saying, California or bust. He preached heaven or bust. So in other words, you got to be saved. You want to be saved. You don't want to be lost. Like I said, I used to say to the women in the women's prison that I ministered in the prison system for 20 years. People used to say hell yes. People used to say hell yeah, and the street talk. But I used to say, you should be saying no to hell, because nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. And hell was made for the devil and his angels. And you can find that in Matthew 25 in verse 41. It was made for the devil and his angels. So it's just it's sad, really. People are in darkness. Things that they say, they think is cool, but it's not cool. And nobody in their right mind want to go there. But people say, because of pride, people say things. Matthew 25 and 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So you don't want to go there, to that everlasting fire. We can call it hell. We can call it everlasting fire. We can call it the lake of fire. No one in their right mind want to be eternally lost. You got to go through another hell right here in the earth while we're living in the earth. We're going through enough. That's why Job said, man is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. So we got enough stuff that we're going through right now. You don't want to be eternally damned. That's why the Bible says, he that believeth, that E-T-H, he told them, Mark 16 and 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What? The death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of the Lord, the sending back the Holy Ghost. And he's going to come back for the church again. And then the church is going to come back to fight with him again in the earth. That's the second coming. When the Bible says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So not the saints that some of these people declare they're trying to make somebody to be a saint. That's stupid. That makes no sense. You read in the book of the Romans, you read in the book of the Corinthians, you read in mostly all Apostle Paul's letters. We call them Pauline epistles. He's writing the church the letters to the born-again believers who are the saints of God. If you don't know you're a saint right now, you're in trouble. Anybody can make you a saint after you've been dead? Who gave somebody the authority to make somebody else to be a saint? That's so stupid. That's foolishness. That makes no sense at all. But the Bible said, called to be saints, especially in the book of the Romans, that church that he had heard about their faith, in the book of the 1 Corinthians, called to be saints. And people be saying, ain't none of us a saint. Well, you should be. You're born again. That means you're a child of God. That means you're a saint of God. That means you're a son of God. That means you're a daughter of God. That means you're a child of God. That means we're children of God. So we got his righteousness. So we can live right. Not lying and all this stuff, stuff coming out of folks' heart, out of their mouth, was in their heart in the first place. And who gave this man authority to be superior over this man, to look down on this man, to say, oh, yeah, they all right. Who said you was all right? Said, well, God looks at the heart. So it doesn't matter what color your house is, and that's what our body is, that's what our temple is that we live in. Nobody is superior, and nobody is inferior as far as that goes. So we got the Bible say that he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him. So ain't no such thing as all this foolishness that people getting. Folks have to get their rights and all of that. Who gave somebody the authority for somebody else to be superior over somebody else? He didn't. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Talking about somebody discovered this or somebody discovered that. Somebody was there before he who got there that they say discovered America. So that's just a lie. And all this stuff, some of these people were such rotten, dirty people, slave owners, all this foolishness, just was crazy. All these civil wars and all this foolishness that's going on. So that's why God is going to fight. He's going to reign, the Bible said, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He's going to reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. You don't want to fight against God because you're not going to win. So you must reign. And the last enemy, he's going to reign until he put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And that is what? Death. The second death. Everybody's going to die the first death. That is your spirit going back to God. That is a state of unconsciousness. The people that are in the grave, the people that are dead in Christ, they're asleep. Ain't nobody in heaven. Like somebody made a comment today about somebody who died, he would all know. There's nobody in heaven right now. Everybody's going to get there at the same time who's going there. But they're in a state of unconsciousness. But the second death, the death that he said is the last enemy that's going to be destroyed, that's the soulish death. That's eternal separation from God. You don't want to die a soulish death. That's why the Bible said, he said, all souls are mine. Notice the terminology, but he goes on to say, and the soul that sinneth, in other words, if you keep on sinning, is not born again, it shall die. So there's a remedy for that. So this is why he died and he was buried and he rose again. So that's why in the book of the Romans, it was written in the 6th chapter, he's talking about the church, people that are already saved, believers. They've been planted together in the likeness of his death. They shall too be in the likeness also of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man is crucified, that he should not serve death. So you're buried by him by baptism unto death, as like as Christ is raised by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So we've been planted in the likeness of his death. We're going to be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So we rise and walk in the newness of life. So the one baptism is water and the Spirit. They go together. So you got to just make sure. Some people have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, before they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they just need a refreshing. Some people, because it may have been over a period of time. That is the one baptism, water and Spirit. That's why he says you got to be born again. Got to be born of water. Notice in the word water in the 3rd chapter of St. John, he didn't say the water. He said water. Water could be a lot of places. But what makes the virtue in the water is when the name of Jesus is called. That's like the song says, down at the cross where my Savior died, down for from sin, sin I cried, said there to my heart was the blood applied. So that's what makes the virtue in the water. Is the blood is in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible said almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. So the water baptism in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, is the blood of Jesus, is in the name of Jesus. And the devil himself knows that. He don't want you to know that. All men don't have that knowledge. So that's why he was saying, that go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There it is right there. He that believeth not, so in other words, ETH, shall be damned. So he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we know in the 24th chapter of Luke, thus it behoove Christ to rise from the dead, to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So that is so important. You got to repent. That means you turn. You make a 180-degree turn. You're turning from your way. You're turning unto God. You're turning your heart to God. So that's obedience, repenting and being baptized. So nobody in their right mind want to be lost. So people say all kinds of things. They got to put that pride down. So he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he goes, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which I am, which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Notice what he's saying here. Not that I, as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. So we know that word perfect is talking about maturity. That's the goal you're reaching. So that's why he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He goes on to say that we be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. That word grow up, that means mature. So you want to mature in Christ. So he says, be no more children, tossed to and fro. So you're an adult, you grow up, you become an adult. That means you're not a child. That means you are mature if you're an adult. So that's what we got to grow up in. I don't want to be knocking over bottles, knocking over glasses of spiritual milk, but you grow up. And so you can eat meat. Like the Hebrew writer says, don't, you know, you start off, like Apostle Paul wrote to that church at Corinthians, says, you desire, Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That, but the Hebrew writer says, strong meat belongs to them that are of age, that they have their senses exercised, that they can discern good and evil. Say, God know what's going on. You see the devil coming, you know he's working. Anytime the Lord is blessing, you got to anticipate the devil. The devil is a dirty, rotten dog, and he uses whoever he wants. He got to stick his ugly head up, just like what happened to me week before last when whoever that was from New Jersey called and made that foul comment, talking about somebody who was naked in his yard, and he lied that the guy would make good fertilizer and all that. And the guy was streaking or whatever, and so somebody shot him. Then he said the guy got up. Then so I asked him, what was his question or what was his comment? And he made a foul statement. So you know what? That is nobody but the devil. And I wasn't surprised, because the devil is a real fool. He's a real big fool. And so he'll use anybody that he can. So that lets you know when you got some numbskull that calls in, talking out of the side of his neck like that, that you're right on target. Because the devil, ain't nobody mad, like they used to say, but the devil. So he's going to use somebody. So didn't surprise me, didn't shock me one bit. He could just take that foolishness back to hell where it came from, because that's exactly where it came from. What came out of his mouth came out of hell. That's where his head is. So we thank God for his word. So he goes on here, by pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So he says, brethren, talking to the church still here, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So he goes on, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So what is he saying? There's some people, they don't love God. Some people are hustling people and slipping and sliding and peeping and hiding, and they don't love Jesus. They claiming they this one and they pastor that, and they're just dirty dogs. And somebody know their game too. So hell is going to be their home if they don't get their self right. There's going to be, that's what he said. One of the latter day signs, many false prophets, and many false prophets and false Christ shall arise and shall deceive many. So people think, I mean, some of these people, they're perverted. They don't want a man, and they're a woman. They want another woman, and they don't want a man. They don't want a woman, and they're a man. They want another man.
they can sing and they can do this. All of that, is emotion. They're going through all these changes and carrying on. And some people think, yeah, you need to darken the doorway of somebody's church. No, you don't. Not if you live in, you ain't changing. You need to get right. Like, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God, and He will show you how. Ain't no darken the door of somebody's church because you came through and you act like you came out of hell and you ain't living right and you don't want to do right. Ain't doing you no good to go. You need to get right. It's what you need to do. You need to be born again and you can do right. You won't be hanging out and then like you're doing God a favor because you went to church. As Resurrection Sunday, as they call it, Easter. I mean, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. Ain't no such thing as just one resurrection Sunday. That's a lie. Easter bunny and eggs and all of that foolishness and Easter bonnet and people buying new dresses and new suits and all that stuff. That's just money is all that is. That's Good Friday and all that. Wasn't no Good Friday. Wasn't good at all. The death that he died when he got up from the dead. On that third day, that was good because his word was good and it came to pass. But he was saying, so there's so many that are going to be lost forever that call themselves men and women of God. And another thing, ain't no such thing as the black man's God and the white man's God. That is a lie. The honorable this man and the honorable that man and the minister this. No. God, you got to understand the oneness of God way back in the beginning. There's no such thing as he is the God of all flesh. That's why he was saying, is there anything too hard for me? He's the God of all flesh. So it's not like what we say. And it's not like what we think. There's one God. So that's why the Bible says that we're all made of one blood. So it's one people. So that's why he was saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So in other words, therein is the righteousness of God revealed as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. So he is a God of all flesh. So he's going to have one people. He's going to have a people for his name. So these false people and all this foolishness that came up and came about, and some things came about even by false doctrine. You read back in the Old Testament things that he told people not to do, and they went on and done them anyway. And then, so just like he even said in the church at Galatia, that we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. One so-called religion was started by somebody who embraced an angel. Another one was started by somebody who did virtually the same thing, talking about this man named Joseph. This man supposedly sought after wisdom. I mean, that's foolishness. There's only two Josephs really in the Bible that had importance, and that was Joseph down in Egypt, which one of the 12 sons of Israel, and also Joseph, who was Jesus' earthly father or stepfather, who married Jesus' mother, because we know the Holy Ghost is Jesus' father. So the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, which is Jesus. He was his own father. So he had an earthly father that married his mother, whose name was Joseph. Those are only two Josephs in the Bible. That's important. All this other foolishness, these people embracing an angel. So we call ourselves this. He said, if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. That which you have preached, let him be accursed. So some people don't have understanding, talking about Abraham. They don't even understand about Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. But you know, he had two sons. He had a son of promise, which is Isaac. He had Ishmael, was born after the flesh. And the Bible says, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that is born after the Spirit. Even so now it is. Same thing even now. Those that persecute us that have not been born again, so-called, the devil is religious. Religion is not going to save you, but salvation is what will save you. That's why he says, neither is there salvation in any other. When they're talking about the name of Jesus in the fourth chapter and talking about that third chapter, that man at the beautiful gate, and so you get in continuation in the fourth chapter, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So he's talking with the subject in that scripture, that passage of scripture in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, is the name of Jesus. And the devil himself do not want anybody to know that that's what makes the virtue in the water, is in the name of Jesus, not calling the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which he did not say repeat after me, but he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, that's an action word, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say repeat after me. What is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? What is the name of the Holy Ghost? It's all the one name. The name is Jesus. And he is Jesus the Christ. You read in Matthew the 16th chapter. He told them, tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. In other words, the Christos, the anointed flesh of God. That is so important. So the secret of the power is in the name of Jesus, and the devil himself knows that it's in the name of Jesus. The devil knows that there is one God. James 2:19 said, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. You do well if you believe there's one God. The devils also believe and tremble. What do they believe? They believe there's one God. They don't believe God, but they believe there's one God. Matter of fact, he knows there's only one God. Look at Jesus. When you read the Gospels, Jesus came on the scene rebuking devils, and they said, we know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. He told them to shut up and come out of him, devils, those who are possessed with devils. He told some to hold their peace. Why? The writer said, so that they should not make him known. They said, we know thee. You're the Holy One of God. Are you come to torment us before the time? They knew who he was. So that's the sad part about mankind. We're so caught up in people and all this emotional stuff is going, and these lying preachers lying to people by sowing a seed. That is a lie out of hell. God ain't all the seed offering and all that. All they're doing is begging for money. They're hustling and pimping people. They don't like it for somebody to expose them for who they really are. So there's no such thing as that. God requires the tenth, which is the tithe, and a free will offering. Anything else over and above that, that's up to you. Ain't no such thing as a seed offering. That is a lie. Not in the New Testament church. Ain't no seed offering. Now, you got a need or something, why don't you just tell it just like it is. Ain't no such thing as a seed offering. All this foolishness. Everybody stand. Got $100. This. You got your reward already. That is error. That is not truth. So, he said, he was talking about many walk of whom I have said, I have told you often, and now even I tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That's a horrible thing to be warned about. And to be called an enemy of the cross of Christ. They're hustling people out of their money. Begging people out of their money. I mean, these. You ever thought about it? Like when the Lord comes to rapture his church away. And some of these people, you're not going to be, well, yeah, I'm from this church. No, we don't know what we shall be. We know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Notice what Peter said. What a lot of people really need to be taking heed to, and that is what the Apostle Peter said in his first message that he preached on the day of Pentecost. And that is some words that he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So folks act like they're going to be holding on to somebody's leg. No, I'm going to be with him. I'm protecting him. No, you better save yourself is what you better do. Because what if he dirty? He ain't going nowhere. And then God don't care what your title is, how many people you over, or none of that. If you dirty, you got a girlfriend, you ain't living right, you ain't going nowhere. And it don't matter who you are. And it don't matter if you don't like it because I said it. Bible said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So it behooves us to do right. We're not going to go nowhere. So we got to guard ourselves, guard our heart, be right in the sight of God. So there's too many people not doing that. They're secretly trying to cover up for folks. No, ain't no secret confession. You got to tell it. You can't just hide it. It don't work like that. That's what you got to think about before you get yourself people talking about they dealing with some stuff. That ain't dealing with nothing. If you in sin, you in sin. You ain't dealing with nothing. You in sin, you're in sin. There's no excuse. Come clean. If you're a child of God, I don't care if you are, who you are. If you need to come clean, and it doesn't matter. If you're a leader, you need to come clean. It matters not who you are. So you are out of order if you're in sin. Period. Matters not who you are. There ain't nothing you can do about it. But do what God said, or you're going to be lost. So that's the whole point. So some folks are getting uncovered. We know what happened to that pastor from Florida, I believe in New York, found in that hotel room, dead. You don't just die a natural death if you're in your 40s. And folks trying to cover it up. The man OD'd on some cocaine or whatever. They try to cover stuff up. Don't work like that. You can get on the social network and say, rest in peace, Pastor so-and-so, all you want. But if he died like a fool, he ain't going to rest in peace. He going to get up in the resurrection of the unjust and stand before God at the great white throne judgment. You don't want to be there. And it's going to be sad. So we can fool, like they said, we can fool some of the people some of the time. We're not going to fool all the people all the time. So that's you get uncovered when you're living a hypocritical life. So that's what Moses said in Numbers 32 and 23, the latter clause, your sin will find you out. See, this is what he said in the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation. Kept saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So this is what you got to do. So you got to have an ear to hear. He's saying in that third chapter in the 20th verse, I'm standing at the door knocking. If any man hear my voice and open, and I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. So you don't want God to be on the outside knocking. That is at the door of your heart. He's knocking. So we need to let him in. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Want to be right with God. Anybody in their right mind want to be right with God. So he goes on to say, but these enemies of the cross of Christ, he says, whose end is destruction. Remember, that's what Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Matthew. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few be there that enter in thereat, because broad is the way, wide is the path that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So you don't want to be destroyed. So this is what he's talking about. That's exactly the same thing. Whose end is destruction. Don't want that to be your testimony. Whose God is their belly, he says, and whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things. I marvel. I've been saved since 76. All they could talk about, the car, the house. I mean, come on. That people got money. That, what are you going to tell somebody rich? He got to bless you. What do you mean, bless me? Bless me with money. and I'm rich, they'd look at you like you're crazy. Like, what are you talking about? It's all God's anyway. Some people got money. But the Bible said that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. And it's not talking about money. So we can relegate a blessing to a house and a car. I mean, how stupid? How stupid is that? I mean, you can get whatever you want. You got the money. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what they were saying. We don't left all. What shall then we have? What shall we have? Peter said. And he was saying about houses and wives, all these different things, and in the world to come, eternal life. I mean, you can get whatever you want. You got the money. So that's so stupid that people do that. So anyway, he says, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things. So he goes on to say, for our conversation is in heaven. So what is he talking about? Our lifestyle. We live like we want to please God. So we can please God, so we can go back with God. You have honor, not disrespect. People have disrespect for their children, disrespect for other people. Too many men have disrespect for women. God forbid. They should be ashamed. They just have no respect. And then on the other hand, there are women that are disrespectful also. Too many people are disrespectful toward their parents, toward their mother, toward their father, disrespectful toward their children, disrespectful toward their daughters, toward their sons. So we need love and respect. And so that's why Jesus was saying, what is the first and greatest commandment? So he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So if you do that, you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, love your neighbor as yourself, then you're going to treat everybody else the way you want to be treated. And if everyone was doing that, we'd have a much better world. But too many people want what someone else has and want to try to take it. Just like today, what happened to that young woman in Texas was murdered. Some RN, I'm told, of the report on the news, because she lied and said she was adopting a child. She tried to take this woman's three-day-old child. So I guess, and from what I'm gathering with the information, that she must have been, was getting ready to leave the hospital or the clinic or whatever. The baby's 3 days old. I mean, so some people can't. They want what someone else has. So they got it in their mind. They're gonna take it. They don't care. They have no respect for others. That's the kind of world we're living in. So he says our conversation or our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the witness, just what I said in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, when he was saying the Lord's going to change us. We'll be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. So here he says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So this is what our hope, This is what we are looking forward to as children of God. This is what caused us to rejoice. This is why we should worship God. This is why we should have confidence in God. We should trust God. And our zeal is in for it. So
we thank God on the day for his word. And we're going to pick back up next week in the 4th chapter of the church at Philippi, the book of Philippians. So he says, so we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. And I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.